Okay, so this discourse is around the bulk of it is concerned with the five hindrances, and well, I'll just read it. It's on the Anguttara Sixes, Sutta number 27. Then a certain bhikkhu approached the Blessed One, paid a homage to him, sat down to one side, and said, "Bhante, how many proper occasions are there for going to see an esteemed bhikkhu?" "There are, bhikkhus, these six proper occasions for going to see an esteemed bhikkhu." "What six?" "1. Here, bhikkhu, when a bhikkhu's mind is obsessed and oppressed by sensual lust, and he does not understand, as it really is, the escape from arisen sensual lust, on that occasion, he should approach an esteemed bhikkhu and say to him, 'Friend, my mind is obsessed and oppressed by sensual lust, and I do not understand, as it really is, the escape from arisen sensual lust. Please teach me the Dhamma for abandoning sensual lust.' The esteemed bhikkhu then teaches him the Dhamma for abandoning sensual lust. This is the first proper occasion for going to see an esteemed bhikkhu. Again, when a bhikkhu's mind is obsessed and oppressed by ill will, and he does not understand, as it really is, the escape from arisen ill will, on that occasion he should approach an esteemed bhikkhu and say to him, 'Friend, my mind is obsessed and oppressed by ill will.'" And so on. "The esteemed bhikkhu then teaches him the Dhamma for abandoning ill will. This is the second proper occasion for going to see an esteemed bhikkhu. Again, when a bhikkhu's mind is obsessed and oppressed by dullness and drowsiness, and he does not understand, as it really is, the escape from arisen dullness and drowsiness, on that occasion he should approach an esteemed bhikkhu and say to him, 'Friend, my mind is obsessed and oppressed by dullness and drowsiness.' The esteemed bhikkhu then teaches him the Dhamma for abandoning dullness and drowsiness. This is the third proper occasion for going to see an esteemed bhikkhu. Again, when a bhikkhu's mind is obsessed and oppressed by restlessness and remorse, and he does not understand, as it really is, the escape from arisen restlessness and remorse, on that occasion, he should approach an esteemed bhikkhu and say to him, 'Friend, my mind is obsessed and oppressed by restlessness and remorse.' The esteemed bhikkhu then teaches him the Dhamma for abandoning restlessness and remorse. This is the fourth proper occasion for going to see an esteemed bhikkhu. Again, when a bhikkhu's mind is obsessed and oppressed by doubt, and he does not understand, as it really is, the escape from arisen doubt, on that occasion, he should approach an esteemed bhikkhu and say to him, 'Friend, my mind is obsessed and oppressed by doubt, and I do not understand, as it really is, the escape from arisen doubt. Please teach me the Dhamma for abandoning doubt.' The esteemed bhikkhu then teaches him the Dhamma for abandoning doubt. This is the fifth proper occasion for going to see an esteemed bhikkhu. Again, when a bhikkhu does not know and see what object to rely on and attend to in order to attain the immediate destruction of the taints, on that occasion he should approach an esteemed bhikkhu and say to him, 'Friend, I do not know and see what object to rely on and attend to in order to attain the immediate destruction of the taints. Please teach me the Dhamma for the destruction of the taints.' The esteemed bhikkhu then teaches him the Dhamma for the destruction of the taints. This is the sixth proper occasion for going to see an esteemed bhikkhu. These, bhikkhus, are the six proper occasions for going to see an esteemed bhikkhu." So, nice little sutta. Okay. Then this next sutta, of course, is a well-known sutta that I oftentimes refer to. It's from the Anguttara Tens, sutta number 61, and concerning the ignorance having a avicca, ignorance having a nutriment. "Bhikkhus," this is said, "a first point of ignorance, bhikkhus, is not seen such that before this there was no ignorance and afterward it came into being. Still, ignorance is seen to have a specific condition." So that sense of the, it's not some uncaused principle, and is a primal condition. It's something that has a nutriment or is a with condition supporting it. I say, bhikkhus, that ignorance has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for ignorance? It should be said, the five hindrances. The five hindrances too, I say, have a nutriment. They are not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for the five hindrances? It should be said, the three kinds of misconduct. The three kinds of misconduct, too, I say, that's misconduct by body, speech, and mind. The three kinds of misconduct, too, I say, have a nutriment. They are not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for the three kinds of misconduct? It should be said, non-restraint of the sense faculties. Non-restraint of the sense faculties, too, I say, has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for the non-restraint of the sense faculties? It should be said, lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension. Lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension, too, I say, has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for the lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension? It should be said, careless attention. So, at yoni so manasikara. Careless attention, too, I say, has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for careless attention? It should be said, lack of faith. Lack of faith, too, I say, has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for lack of faith? It should be said, not hearing the good Dhamma. Not hearing the good Dhamma, too, I say, has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for not hearing the good Dhamma? It should be said, not associating with good persons. Thus not associating with good persons, becoming full, fills up not hearing the good Dhamma. Not hearing the good Dhamma, becoming full, fills up lack of faith. Lack of faith, becoming full, fills up careless attention. Careless attention, becoming full, fills up lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension. Lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension, becoming full, fills up non-restraint of the sense faculties. Non-restraint of the sense faculties, becoming full, fills up the three kinds of misconduct. The three kinds of misconduct, becoming full, fill up the five hindrances. The five hindrances, becoming full, fill up ignorance. Thus there is nutriment for ignorance, and in this way it becomes full. Just as when it is raining and the rain pours down in thick droplets on a mountaintop, the water flows down along the slope and fills the clefts, gullies, and creeks. These becoming full fill up the pools. These becoming full fill up the lakes. These becoming full fill up the streams. These becoming full fill up the rivers. And these becoming full fill up the great ocean. Thus there is the nutriment for the great ocean. And in this way it becomes full. So too, not associating with good persons, becoming full fills up not hearing the good Dhamma. And then so on. Fills up the five hindrances. The five hindrances, becoming full, fill up ignorance. Thus there is nutriment for ignorance. And in this way it becomes full. I say, bhikkhus, that true knowledge and liberation have a nutriment. They are not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for true knowledge and liberation? It should be said, the seven factors of enlightenment. The seven factors of enlightenment, too, I say, have a nutriment. They are not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for the seven factors of enlightenment? It should be said, the four establishments of mindfulness. The four establishments of mindfulness, too, I say, have a nutriment. They are not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for the four establishments of mindfulness? It should be said, the three kinds of good conduct. The three kinds of good conduct, too, I say, have a nutriment. They are not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for the three kinds of good conduct? It should be said, restraint of the sense faculties. Restraint of the sense faculties, too, I say, has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for restraint of the sense faculties? It should be said, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Mindfulness and clear comprehension, too, I say, have a nutriment. They are not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for mindfulness and clear comprehension? It should be said, careful attention. Careful attention, too, I say, has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for careful attention? It should be said, faith. Faith, too, I say, has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for faith? It should be said, hearing the good Dhamma. Hearing the good Dhamma, too, I say, has a nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for hearing the good Dhamma? It should be said, associating with good persons. Thus, associating with good persons, becoming full, fills up hearing the good Dhamma. Hearing the good Dhamma becoming full fills up faith. Faith becoming full fills up careful attention. Careful attention becoming full fills up mindfulness and clear comprehension. Mindfulness and clear comprehension becoming full fill up restraint of the sense faculties. Restraint of the sense faculties becoming full fills up the three kinds of good conduct. The three kinds of good conduct becoming full fill up the four establishments of mindfulness. The four establishments of mindfulness becoming full fill up the seven factors of enlightenment. The seven factors of enlightenment becoming full fill up true knowledge and liberation. Thus there is nutriment for true knowledge and liberation, and in this way they become full. Just as when it is raining and the rain pours down in thick droplets on a mountaintop, the water flows down along the slope and fills the clefts, gullies, and creeks. These becoming full fill up the pools. These becoming full fill up the lakes. These becoming full fill up the streams. These becoming full fill up the rivers. And these becoming full fill up the great ocean. Thus there is nutriment for the great ocean. And in this way it becomes full. So too, associating with good persons, becoming full fills up hearing the good Dhamma. And through to the seven factors of enlightenment, becoming full fill up true knowledge and liberation. Thus there is nutriment for true knowledge and liberation. And in this way they become full. So one of the classic suttas on the conditioned nature of both the kind of downward spiral into ignorance and suffering, and as well as in the growth and development of the Dhamma and knowledge and liberation. Any questions? Yeah.
The link that I don't quite understand is how good conduct fulfills or brings about the four foundations of mindfulness. Because ordinarily, good conduct seems fairly soon in the list of causes, and the four foundations of mindfulness are pretty subtle. So I'm wondering, do you have perspective?
Well, the thing is, yeah, because good conduct is conduct by body, speech, and mind. So that you're aligning everything with Dhamma. It's not just sort of keeping precepts. This is conduct that is in accord with Dhamma. Or say Dhamma no Dhamma Patibhata, practicing Dhamma in accordance with Dhamma. So living the Dhamma. You're actually living the teachings. And all of your actions of body, speech, and mind are aligned with Dhamma. So that's not very basic, actually. Yeah.
Maybe elaborate a little bit on sort of the differences between nutriment, sort of all of those factors back up to associating with wise people, or nutriments for each other, versus more kind of like a direct relationship, say, in the kind of origination dependent on this.
Actually, the word's the same. Pachaya. Pachaya. I think they're so that these are 208. I'm pretty sure it is. I better check before I. Oh no, has it? No, it is. It's saharam. So it's nutriment. That's food. But the they say the commentary glosses it with has a condition sampachayam. So it's like the. To me, the I think that gloss is probably helpful in the sense of that whether it's because both of them are not say direct causes. Strictly cause and effect. It's nourished. It's fed by. It's supported by. Conditioned by. It's in a different context. Majjhima 44, in that. These dhammas are conjoined; they are not disjoined. But it's a different context. But it has a similar application that these are they're inextricably linked. There's a somewhat on a certain level, somewhat arbitrary. But it's a natural progression or a natural. Fairly direct, but not exclusively. And the Buddha was always, he was very precise, so that if he wanted to say, this is a direct causal condition, he would say it's a direct causal condition as opposed to something woolly. And whereas this is actually the reality is. Once you start getting into the conditioning factors like this, they bleed into each other, support each other, or affect each other in different ways.
So we often dependent, or we mentioned because these things are dependent on each other, but they're not specifically caused.
Yeah.
One phrase that comes to mind is sufficient or necessary but not sufficient conditions.
Yeah. Yeah, these are are not exclusive. The use of that word sahara as with nutriment with ahara is literally food. It's actually and that's in Thai language. That is the. That is your word for food. Okay, the next sutta. So this is Anguttara 10's sutta number 95. Then the wanderer Uttiya approached the Blessed One and exchanged greetings with him. When they had concluded their greetings and cordial talk, he sat down to one side and said to the Blessed One, "How is it, Master Gotama? Is the world eternal? Is this alone true and anything else wrong?" Uttiya, "I have not declared the world is eternal. This alone is true. Anything else is wrong." "Then, Master Gotama, is the world not eternal? Is this alone true and anything else wrong?" Uttiya, "I also have not declared. The world is not eternal. This alone is true. Anything else is wrong." Then I'll just shorten it. "How is it then, Master Gotama? Is the world finite? Is the world infinite? Are the soul and the body the same? Is the soul one thing, the body another? Does the Tathagata exist after death? Does the Tathagata not exist after death? Does the Tathagata both exist and not exist after death? Does the Tathagata neither exist nor not exist after death? Is this alone true and anything else wrong? Uttiya, I have not declared that the Tathagata neither exists or does not exist after death. This alone is true, anything else is wrong. When I asked you, how is it, Master Gotama, is the world eternal? Is this alone true and anything else wrong? You said, Uttiya, I have not declared the world is eternal. This alone is true, anything else is wrong. But when I asked you, then, Master Gotama, is the world not eternal? Is this alone true and anything else wrong? You said, Uttiya, I also have not declared the world is not eternal. This alone is true, anything else is wrong. When I asked you, how is it then, Master Gotama? Is the world finite? Is the world infinite? Are the soul and the body the same? Is the soul one thing, the body another? Does the Tathagata exist after death? Does the Tathagata not exist after death? Does the Tathagata both exist and not exist after death? Does the Tathagata neither exist nor not exist after death? Is this alone true and anything else wrong? You said, Uttiya, I have not declared that the Tathagata neither exists or does not exist after death. This alone is true, anything else is wrong. What then has Master Gotama declared? Because these are the basic philosophical tenets of different teachers and teaching systems were based on these various philosophical perspectives, and great debates would take place with these, staking their claims on this one position or another. Through direct knowledge, Uttiya, I teach the Dhamma to my disciples for the purification of beings, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the passing away of pain and dejection, for the achievement of the method, for the realization of Nibbana. But when Master Gotama, through direct knowledge, teaches the Dhamma to his disciples for the purification of beings, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the passing away of pain and dejection, for the achievement of the method, for the realization of Nibbana, will the entire world be therefore emancipated, or half the world, or a third of the world? When this was asked, the Blessed One remained silent. I think he just got finally tired out. I can appreciate this. When this was asked, the Blessed One remained silent. Then it occurred to the Venerable Ananda, the wanderer Uttiya had better not adopt the evil view. When I ask the ascetic Gotama the most elevated question of all, he falters and does not answer. It must be that he is unable to do so. This would lead to the wanderer Uttiya's harm and suffering for a long time. Then the Venerable Ananda said to the wanderer Uttiya, well then, friend Uttiya, I will give you a simile. Some intelligent people here understand the meaning of what is said by means of a simile. Suppose a king had a frontier city with strong ramparts, walls, and arches, and with a single gate. The gatekeeper posted there would be wise, competent, and intelligent, one who keeps out strangers and admits acquaintances. While he is walking along the path that encircles the city, he would not see a cleft or an opening in the walls even big enough for a cat to slip through. He might not know how many living beings enter or leave the city, but he could be sure that whatever large living beings enter or leave the city, all enter and leave through that gate. So too, friend Uttiya, the Tathagata has no concern whether the entire world will be emancipated, or half the world, or a third of the world. But he can be sure that all those who have been emancipated, or who are being emancipated, or who will be emancipated from the world, first abandon the five hindrances, corruptions of the mind that weaken wisdom, and then, with their minds well established in the four establishments of mindfulness, develop correctly the seven factors of enlightenment. It is in this way that they have been emancipated, or are being emancipated, or will be emancipated from the world. Friend Uttiya, you ask the Blessed One from a different angle the same question that you had already asked him. Therefore, the Blessed One did not answer you. The footnote on that, when he said the same question, he shows that Uttiya again asked the same invalid question that he previously posed in terms of whether the world is eternal and so on. He asked from a different angle about the entire world, taking a stand on a belief in a sentient being, the solidity of beings in the world. Any questions? Yeah, well, it was again that you say five hindrances, four foundations of mindfulness, seven factors of enlightenment, just how central that is. And that sense of the primacy of that, as opposed to speculation, and even if it's a advanced and intelligent philosophical position, it's still not a way out of suffering. Okay, you can practice. We'll practice some of this now.